Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Very good, very good. How's everybody this morning? Yeah? Man, don't make me be the only hype one, okay? Everybody doing okay? Good, okay, very good. That's good. I know it's warming up a little bit. Some of us are, you know, fighting off a little bit of a cold. Some of our families are healing up, and we're ready to get everybody back in the motion. But I am so thankful that you're here today, because we know that time is one of our most valuable commodities, and you have chosen to be here with us today, and I'm thankful and honored and that you would spend your time with us. And so we're starting a brand new series today. So if you're here today, you ought to be excited, because we're starting our study on the book of Colossians. And we're just diving into this incredible, power-packed book. And so over the next really 4 to 5 weeks, we encourage you to, you know, if you want to go back and read through some of that, we will. But today we'll be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. 1 through 14. We'll be there in just a few minutes. And just studying this, God's already revealed so much and spoken so much encouragement into my life. And so I'm praying that for you this morning as well. But before we dive in, let me pray for us and just ask God to move and work and speak to our lives this morning. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word, your truth, God. Thank you for your power. God, thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for us, God. And I pray that later today, as we take communion, that that just reminds us of the sacrifice that you made for us, God. We're praying for just all those who are affected with so much going on, God. I just pray that you comfort them. I pray that you give them peace, and I pray that you give them healing, God, during this time. I pray that you will speak through me, that I will decrease so that you may increase. And I pray that you just illuminate in your word the steps of faith and areas of our life in which you want to grow or reaffirm or encourage our lives today. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I wanted to share a quick little story. Some of you may have heard the story from us a while back, but if you haven't, oh well, you'll hear it again. So it's always good to hear it a couple times, right? And my wife and I met in the 10th grade, and actually started dating in the 10th grade. She's not here today, so I can say all this. She was wearing braces, and she wore her little pigtails because she was a huge soccer player. She loved soccer. She actually, I'm going to brag on her for a minute, her freshman year, I don't know if she still holds it, but she had a state record in goals. She scored like 45 goals in 1 year as a freshman. Anyway, so she played soccer. I was playing football and doing different things, and we started dating. And of course, it was kind of like I was probably the most awkward kid, and I was like, you know, just trying to ask her out and trying to navigate that whole scenario out. But we started dating. I remember our first date was, I just started driving. I drove a 1986. That's the year I was born. Anyway, I was driving that Blue Blazer, a 1986 Blue Blazer, and I picked her up and we went to Azteca. Who loves some Mexican food? Yes. I knew that was one of her favorites. She still loves Mexican food to this day. And I remember picking up, and I'm just learning how to drive, and I'm trying to be cool. And I remember we hit this railroad track, little bump a little too hard, and we get, you know, and I'm like, oh, here we go. But anyway, we made it, ended up having a good time. She stuck with me, and we broke up for a little while. She still holds that to me, but I was 17, right? Like, come on. And she still, you know, brings it up every now and then. So, and if you're watching online, sorry. But as we're thinking about this, I remember we wanted to wait and get to college. And her mom had invested a lot into her and her college career. So I wanted her mom to see their family name on their diploma. And so we waited, and we dated for about 8 years. But I remember as a young guy, I worked a lot in college. I went to college to play football, and then I played for about a year and decided, hey, I wasn't, you know, maybe I could work my way up to playing more and starting more. And so I decided, you know what, let me just hang this career up and start working. And so I dove into all that time I would have spent in practice and all of that, and I dove it into work and was working 34 hours a week and going to school. And honestly, it was like the first time I was really making some money, and so I was excited about that. And I started saving and putting a little bit back because I knew that I wanted to buy a ring. And my family jokes around because I am a cheap guy, okay? My family always jokes, so like they hope they don't draw my name for Christmas. But anyway, because they know I'm like old school in that mentality, you know? I'm like, oh, thought this was good. It's only $5, right? Like, come on. And I remember putting money back, and I saved up, and I really didn't have a big frame of reference. I just knew I wanted to get a pretty good ring. And so I saved up $2,000, and I was so pumped about that. And I remember going to K Jewelers and walking in there and not having a clue and just asking the guy, like, okay, what am I looking for? Like, what can I get? This is how much money I got. And I remember a guy going, ooh, you can get a lot of ring for that. And I was like, yes. And I remember we had this conversation. He was like, so what kind of cut do you want and all that? Of course, I don't know. I'm like, okay, which one will make the diamond look the biggest? Okay, so yeah, I went with a solitaire just because I wanted that thing to pop, right? And so I remember getting it, and then all of a sudden I learned a little bit more about diamonds that I had no clue about as a 21-year-old guy. And as I got that ring, I remember looking at it, and he was showing me all the different sizes and shapes, and he was like, hey, what do you want? What kind do you want? And I was like, I don't know, just make it sparkle. And then he started to tell me that not only do you look at the size, which is a carat, right, but also look at the clarity of the diamond. And so when you hold it up, you can see, is it more clear? Is it cloudy? And that'll even raise the price up a little bit. And so just trying to find the balance. And I finally found the one right in my price range. And we negotiated a little bit and I got it and I was so pumped. I told one other person and then I remember proposing to her for the very first time. I was so nervous. I don't even remember what I said. It was probably something crazy, but getting on one knee and seeing that. And it was an incredible time, but it was such a processing time, a decision-making time. And I remember shopping for the diamond and actually hearing what he said and looking up what the kind of diamond was and the clarity of it. And then I went home and looked online just to make sure that everything was matching up because I wanted it just right, right? And so when I think about that, I thought about that story and I thought about the diamond. And when you look at a diamond, not only the size matters, but the clarity matters, because the more clear it is, the more valuable it is, the more expensive it is, the more pure it is. And as I started studying the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians is so powerful because the Apostle Paul is writing to a church and he's trying to get them back to have more clarity. He's trying to help them realize, hey, this is the pure form of the gospel. And if you get clearer on that, your lives, you will see it just flourish more. You'll see this abundance start to grow off this foundation of clarity, of truly being able to see. And he's like, hey, I want your community, your church to be pure. And as you can sense this and grow and build off of this, we experience this because the book of Colossians is written by a man named Apostle Paul. And in fact, during this time while he wrote this book, he was in prison. And most people believe that he wrote Philemon and the book of Colossians at the same around the same time, maybe even in the same prison on house arrest during this time. And he was writing to the Colossian church. And in fact, Paul didn't plant this church, which is unusual because Paul planted many and multiple churches. It was planted, most believed, by a man named Epaphras. Okay, if you're looking for a name, Epaphras right there, James, I don't know where you're at. Looking for, no, just kidding. Epaphras there, he planted that church. And then the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to help correct some things, because what has happened here in this book of Colossians and in this particular church is you had these two groups of people. You had the Jewish people, right? And then the Gentiles. And basically Gentiles are anybody that's not Jewish, but it was these certain group of Gentiles who were bringing in old traditions, old ways of worship, bringing in old even pagan gods and how to receive revelation. And so all of that was really kind of coming together in this melting pot and clouding up what Paul originally is preaching and showing us the gospel. And it was getting muddy, and all of a sudden it was actually even straying off the path of what the true and pure gospel was. And so we see that Epaphras makes the journey to go visit Paul because he's so discouraged. He goes back and says, hey, I need some help. I can imagine if he even goes back and feels even a little defeated. And the Apostle Paul writes this letter to help them have some clarity on the way to live in community and to way to straighten some of this out. One of the biggest ones here, you guys still with me? This is a little bit of teaching right here. This is like my zone. I love teaching. Like, ooh. I love looking this stuff up, you know, like reading all through the backstory and context. Anyway, but just hearing this, I began to think, and one of the big, one of the big systems that came into place was this system called, which we have labeled now as Gnosticism, and where this self, you can have this self-revelation and levels of revelation. The more you look inwardly, the more you look at yourself, and as you look and know yourself more, you receive these new levels of revelation, even outside of Scripture, that you can reach these, almost work your way up to more. And this was started to seep into this particular church. And Paul, as you can see, not only this week, and then we get amazing Pastor Jason Clark's going to speak next week. Anyway, I'm the only one. We see this, and as the Apostle Paul, he really sets this up over the next few chapters. And he really goes, hey, I want this to be pure. I want it to be crystal clear for who you are serving and who this church is brought around and who this church is for. And so he starts here in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses, stop, talk about it, and then read, continue on there. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So we have Paul who's writing and Timothy who was there with him. To the saints, he's speaking to the Christians, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from our God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. The Apostle Paul kicks this letter off like he always does, and he gives a clear, he says, hey, grace and peace to you. He speaks those things. But what stood out to me is, you remember everything I just talked about, right? All the context of why he's writing this letter, because they're starting to stray, and some even false prophets are coming in teaching different things. And so they're straying a little bit. And the Apostle Paul kicks the letter off and he says, hey, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. And then he goes on and says, hey, we, me and Timothy, when we pray, when we as believers pray, we thank God for you, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray for you. We heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and how you came to know the faith and how you're growing in your faith. We heard that. And since we have heard that, we are just praising God for what He is doing in the midst of your church. And I read that and going, wow, Paul is speaking to these guys. And he kicks off with some encouragement and saying, hey, it's like he's to say, look, guys, we're on the same team. Now, there are some things that he's going to go into and start to correct, almost even teach and restructure and rebuke there for a moment. But Paul starts off and says, I give thanks to you. I give thanks that you're having your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm praying for you. I believe in you. And in fact, he even goes even further and calls them faithful. And he speaks to this because he's speaking to something that is in them. And if you're taking notes, I wrote this down, that Paul is speaking to build and not to tear down. His goal is for this church to build up and to flourish, not for him to come in with a strong arm and go, this is how you do it. This is what you are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. That you should not know that. You should not do this. But he comes in with the intent of saying, I want to build this relationship. I want you to come out of this stronger. I want you to know that, number one, I'm on your side. I am with you in this. I am thankful for you, and I believe that you are faithful. I believe that we're walking in this thing together. And so he is speaking, which I think this is so vital in Christian community. Because sometimes, I remember when I first came to know Christ, and sometimes you can kind of get this, like how I first came to know Christ, and you start looking at your old ways, and maybe even people who are walking in some of their old ways, and we can have the tendency of looking down on them and going, oh, I can't believe that. Oh, look what you did. I can't believe you made that sin. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. And Paul's going, wait. Let's speak the truth in love. Let's help build up and not just tear down, not just rebuke, not just correct, but let's come in it with love and say, hey, I love you enough to speak this truth, to correct you, but yes, no, I believe you are faithful. We're in this thing together. And I'm so thankful that we're even having this conversation, that you're gathering together as a church, that we see that the gospel is bearing fruit in this particular city. And he's saying, hey, speak the truth in love. One of my favorite verses. In fact, it's like one of my life verses, if anybody excited where to hold this, but Ephesians 4:15, it says, "Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church." And Ephesians chapter 4 is this beautiful chapter where he's speaking and giving purpose to the church. And he's saying, hey, instead, let's speak the truth in love. Yes, we're still going to speak the truth, but we're going to come at it from the angle of love, not of condemnation, not of tearing you down, but saying, hey, let's walk through this thing together. Yes, we're still going to talk about it, but we're going to build each other up. And I believe that a godly community, you and I, we experience Jesus in a way maybe we've never experienced before when we come in and go, hey, we're all in this thing together, right? And he comes in and says, hey, I love you. I am so thankful for you. Hey, but look, this is how we want to grow together. This is how we're going to do. And I hope that that's our model of church, because the Apostle Paul, that's how he wants to bring this community together. And as I read off that rap sheet of what was happening in this particular church, it's hard for me to even think, because sometimes it's like, whoa, should they even be like gathering together if they're getting that far off track? And the Apostle Paul's going, wait, no. They just need to be corrected. They just need to be built. They need to be spoken to in love and in truth. Grace and in truth. No. They are still faithful. They are still strong. I still believe in them. Some of you need just to hear those words. I believe in you. I believe God can do something in you. I believe God can do something through you. And even if we bring our past and whatever before God, God is saying, hey, I believe in you. And God speaks the truth, and he speaks to build and not just to tear down. You guys still with me? Amen. And then the Apostle Paul continues on and he says, hey, we do all this because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. He's saying, hey, I know you are faithful because you're looking above all. You're looking in an eternal perspective, and that heaven is on our way. And then Paul begins to transition the letter here, and he starts to really hone in, because great leaders, maybe you've even read this book before, but they start with the why. They remind us of why we're moving forward. Why do we even gather? Why do we come together? And the Apostle Paul starts with the why as he continues here. And he starts to go, look, you're an answer to a problem. When you meet, God does something incredible. And then he continues here and he says, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, that's his name there, who planted, our beloved fellow servant. He is faithful, a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And God Paul stops there for a second, and he says, hey, remember the gospel that you're talking about and sharing now? I'm seeing it bear fruit all over the world. He's bringing them back to the purity of the gospel and going, hey, look, there's still power in this. Like, I'm seeing it bear fruit. Churches pop up, people growing in love and grace and truth all over the world. We go to Honduras as a church. I know we're pretty young. We partner with our sending church. But one thing that always blows my mind every time I go overseas is that when they get into a Christian church, they're preaching the same gospel. They're preaching the same Jesus, and they're seeing some of the same fruit. They're seeing lives be changed. I remember we were sitting there, Jason and I went. It was one of the first times they ever had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and we made it, and we were sharing meals, and they had their tortillas and the things they were eating there. But we build relationships, and we talk with them. One of the guys was talking about how he struggled and how his generationally with alcohol, and how he's trying to break that, but it's this bondage that he's in. And so as he's connected to the church, he started to tell us how he was built up from that and how God is freeing him, how being in the church is freeing him of that. And I just always remind him, going, wow, the gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. It is still powerful. It is still available to us. And Paul is reminding the church, hey, this is why we do this. This is why we gather, because the gospel can still change your life. It can still change my life. It can still bring people out of darkness and set them free. And we still see that happening today. As he continues here in verse 9, Apostle Paul continues, and this is where he digs in just a little bit. He says, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. Amen? Man, that's such a powerful piece of scripture. Paul kicks off and he says, hey, I'm always praying for you. I'm interceding for you. And he says, what my prayer is that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He's saying, I'm praying that you would be filled by His knowledge of God and spiritual wisdom. And he gives us this truth that seek to be filled with the knowledge of God. That he's saying, hey, first and foremost, I want you to be filled to the brim with everything that we have, that everything that God is, just to study His word and to grow in community. That's why even today we're talking about small groups, because we believe in the power of community. Because when you and I are filled with the knowledge of God and spiritual wisdom, it overflows. And as Apostle Paul talks about here, that it bears fruit inside of our lives. And I want to illustrate this. I did not ask these guys. I like the surprise factor. Jason and Jordan, can I borrow you just for a second? You guys are so awesome. I didn't even tell them this, so they're excited right now. They're really happy. But what I love about this, so he gives us this imagery, right? And Jordan, you're just going to hang out right here. And these guys have awesome beards, and mine's pretty thick too. So, And so he gives us this principle. He says, when we walk into community and we begin to pray, God, okay, what do you want us to do as a church? What is your, have you ever asked this? What is your will for my life? God, how are you directing me? How are you guiding me? What should I do in this decision? God, I got this going on in my life. I'm trying to make this decision about my kids, about my spouse, about every, God, what is my decision? What do I need to do? And the Apostle Paul, he teaches him a lesson here, and he's saying, hey, I'm praying that you be filled with the knowledge of God and with spiritual wisdom and understanding. He's saying, because if you are filled with the knowledge of God and wisdom and understanding, you will know my will in your everyday life. You will understand who God is. And so Jordan is going to be God here, right? Feeling spiritual? Yeah?
Real spiritual.
Big shoes to fill, man. And so just pretending like that He is God here, and Jason is representation of you and I, and this is the church, or a believer, a follower of Christ, and He gives us this principle of that knowing more, the closer that Jason, I'm going to scoot you over here. He's so strong. Moving closer to God and knowing Him more, seeking towards Him, and just understanding who He is, because sometimes we think that the will of God is almost separate, a separate entity, that I need to learn the will of God. When God is going, no. They come together. Like, if He will never separate His will and His character. His character and His will go hand in hand. If you and I will be filled with the knowledge of God and say, I want to seek to know Him more, to understand His word more, to be spiritually awakened for my eyes to see who God is. And if I know Him more, then it doesn't matter where I go, I know I'm going to be walking in His ways and in His will, because now I'm so close to God that as God directs me and guides me, I know He will never direct me outside of His character. Guys, thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Yeah. Professional actors. I think that's so huge for you and I to realize, because so many times we ask ourselves these questions and we're saying, God, will you direct? I'm sure Epaphras was praying and going, God, what do I do? God, how do I guide these? How do I shepherd these people? How do I guide this church? How do I lead this small group? How do I help my kids to understand this decision in Christ? What should I do about my job right now? And God is going, hey, seek to understand and know who I am, and I will guide you into my will. And in fact, you and I can even use it as a layer in our lives to go, okay, which one of these helps me to get closer to God? Which one of these helps me to see the character of God more inside of my life? How can I see Him more clearly? Because if I can do that, I know I'm going to be walking closer to His will for Him in my life. And that's why Apostle Paul says, hey, I'm praying this over your life, in your life, and through your life so that you will understand all of spiritual wisdom, all of understanding. And for you and I to be so hungry to go, okay, that's why I want to dive in to learn more of God's Word. I want to be here on Sunday. I want to be studying the book of Colossians because it's this book, this Bible is a direct revelation of who God is. And every time we open it, we get to study. It's like a case study of who God is every single day. And there is so much in here that we can dive into and look into and break apart each word just to know the character of God and understand and grow in knowledge. Because the Apostle Paul says, hey, I want you to model this first before you mentor others in this. I want you to be filled first, and then Epaphras, and then you go and grow in this. I want to first change in you. You be filled first, and then let that overflow inside of your lives and inside of your hearts. He's saying, that's what I want us to understand. And if you're taking notes, here's a quick little sentence that I just talked about. We must model growing in Christ before we mentor others in Christ. And he is saying, be filled first. Seek the knowledge. Because he says, when you know his will and know the knowledge of him and spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. And he's saying, when we seek his knowledge, seek his will, then he begins to show us what that may look like. And I'm already kind of pushing my time here, so I'm gonna be real quick. But when we talk about this theme model, we're only in the first 14 verses. This is good, isn't it? Like, you think of the first 14 verses and we've got to unpack this whole book. But we talk about this theme of modeling first, right? Of being filled first with God's knowledge and spiritual wisdom and understanding. Jesus even modeled this. I mean, he is God. He doesn't have to be filled first. He is God, right? In the flesh. And it was customary for the Jewish rabbis to pick their disciples and they would literally do life together every single day. And when he was saying, and come follow me. That's why that Peter and those guys were leaving their fishing nets, leaving their careers, leaving all of that just to go and study with Jesus. And I would encourage you and I to say, hey, when I grow closer to God and model that first, then because we think about, oh, I don't have time to make disciples. I don't have time to help people grow in Christ. And Jesus is saying, look, I just want you to be filled so much that when people come near you, they're learning how to walk and learn more about Jesus just because they're doing life with you. And you're invited, you're already going to eat dinner, right, with your family. Just invite them in to eat dinner with you. And all of a sudden, what you're talking about and how you interact and how you talk about who God is and how you've shaped your life around His character, you are then making disciples by helping them understand who God is. And He's saying, invite them into your normal life. You're already in a small group, right? You're already modeling that. You're inviting somebody in going, hey, I got this amazing group of people that I connect with and God is growing us and we're understanding more about who God is. All you got to do is just come and be with us and walk with us in this. And he's saying, hey, just model it first. Walk in it first and I'll start to guide you in my will. And then he continues here. And then I'm going to get ready to close and we're going to take communion together. And he says this in verse 10. He says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully of pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says it again. And then he says this, because if you and I have lived longer than 4 days on this planet, we understand that life can be hard, right? Things happen and situations happen and people are messy, right? We still live in a sinful world and we battle this flesh and sometimes it is so hard. And I love the Apostle Paul and all his wisdom and his writing inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he says, hey, out of all of that, and as you're walking in that, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. He's saying in all of this, as you are learning and walking in community and learning who God is, he's saying, I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be tough and life is going to be hard, but he's saying, I want you to be strengthened by the almighty power of God. He's saying the limitless power of God. He's praying that he will have strength over them in this moment. moment. He is saying, because God, he's speaking to us directly, saying, I know it's hard, but I'm praying that you will have strength. And then he even goes even more specific. He says, hey, strength to have the endurance to make it. He's saying, I am with you. I love you through this. Keep doing. We read this in Scripture. He's saying, don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in allowing God to produce the fruit in you, because I am with you. And he's saying, he gives us strength with all power according to his, not yours, not mine, his glorious might. And then he says, for all the endurance you need and patience, and not just patience. Come on, somebody, patience with joy. I need that just in Walmart on Monday, right? He's saying not only just patience, but patience to where joy is flowing out of you. Where you're like, oh yeah, let's just wait. Whew, it's a good day. God's good, huh? You doing all right? Whew, yeah, we're just waiting. This is awesome. I'm in the waiting room. This is, you know, God's good. He's speaking. Can I just, oh, why we're waiting? This, I always picture Apostle Paul. I mean, what do you do with a man who says, hey, to die is gain? And then he says, if they don't take me out for preaching the gospel, it's better for you, because I'm going to keep teaching the word and teaching the gospel, right? Like, what do you do with a guy like that? And he's like, hey, you throw me into prison? Good. There's some guards in there that really need to hear the word. Put me in chains? Awesome. They can't go anywhere. Like, can I just tell you about Jesus? Let me just tell you how he's changed my life. Like, he's like incredible. And look, I got this awesome hymn and he's singing, right? And he takes every advantage and goes, hey, patience, not just patience, but strength to have patience with joy. And the Apostle Paul is praying that over the Colossian church. And I believe he's speaking that to you and to I, that God wants to give you continual strength to endure through. Not only that, to have patience with joy. And that's what separates Christians from, there's many things, but this is one huge thing, because we don't operate off the same system. We function off of his mighty power. And when we have the strength to endure, people begin to take notice and go, wow, this is real for you, huh? You go, yeah, I'm full. I'm full of the knowledge of God, of his character and his will. And I'm just leaning. I don't know. I'm scared. I'm even frustrated, but I know he is with me in this. And he's going to give me strength to endure. And he's going to give me patience with joy in and through this. And then I'm going to close here, because this is just too good not to skip. Because then he closes right here. And in my message, I'm kind of like a sports guy. So I always think, I'm like, God, what is that right hook that you want to close a message with? And Paul just tees it up right here. I don't even have to do anything but read Scripture. It's so good. Verse 12, he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved sons, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. He is saying, you and I, as saints, as followers of Jesus Christ, our identity is the foundation for our life. And he's saying, I want you to live with the foundation of knowing and understanding that in Christ you are qualified. In fact, he's saying, I have brought you out of the domain of darkness. It has no power in your life. It has no jurisdiction in your heart and in your mind anymore. He has set you free from the power of sin and death. And he is saying, you are set free. You are qualified in Christ. And I hope that you came to church, and if you wrestled with anything, I hope you walk out of here today knowing, I am qualified in Christ. I am set free in Christ. I have a relationship with him, and I know that I can walk out of here with strength that endure, strength to have patience with joy, because my foundation is, I am qualified in Christ. I am set free. And I just picture Apostle Paul grabbing Epaphras and going, look, you are qualified. You are qualified to go back and to lead this church. You are qualified. God has given you everything you need with the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And he is saying, just seek to grow more in that knowledge, and he will flow through you. Be filled first. And he's saying, I'll guide you, I'll direct you, but never forget that you are qualified. You are qualified in God. And if you need a title for this message, I titled it The Qualified Life. Because you and I get to walk in a life that is worthy. A life that is worthy in the manner of the glory of God. And that's the beauty of the gospel. You and I don't deserve that. But Jesus said, I love you so much that I'm going to die to set you free. And in fact, I'm going to show you all my glorious power, all my glorious strength, and I'm going to resurrect again to show you I am God and Lord over all, in all, and through all, and I am with you. I am walking with you, and I have set you free. And don't forget who you are in Christ. And when you walk into work on Monday, when you walk into that doctor's office, when you walk into your marriage, when you walk into that relationship with your child, when you walk into that situation, walk into it knowing you are fully qualified in Christ. My identity is not Pastor Daniel. I'm a child of God. And God is saying, I have filled that in you, and that's the foundation for your life. There's not a person in this room, a demon, an angel, anybody on this planet who can take that from me. Jesus made that way. And he holds me in his powerful hand, as scripture tells us, and he holds and lifts us up. And so I want to pray today, and then we're going to move into communion. And communion is just a powerful picture of what we were talking about. That you and I, to remember what Christ did for us. And I'm going to walk through that in just a minute, but I feel so strongly. One of the first, I like to read through my scripture first and just take random notes. And one of the first things God just kind of pressed and hounded and stood on my heart was that you are qualified in Christ. That you are qualified in Christ to walk and live and to think and breathe and to function off that foundation. That you are qualified. And so if you're in this room today, I don't want to shy away, because if you have a question whether you have a relationship with Christ, Jesus is saying, start there. Because I want to qualify you first. I want to set the foundation of knowing who you are in Christ first. And then I'll begin to fill you with the knowledge of God. As you walk in community, as you learn my word and my truth and what I want to do inside of your life, that will begin to fill inside of your lives and hearts, but it starts with giving our lives to Christ. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm praying that if there's anybody in this room who does not know you, God, doesn't have a relationship with you, I pray that they'll pray this prayer with me. God, your word says, Romans 10:9, if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and raised for us again, that you will set us free, that we will be saved, God. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Set people free. So if you want to pray today for the first time, just pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I'm separated from you. God, I've missed the mark. God, I've made mistakes. And I have sin in my life. God, I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose again. And I ask that you would save me and change me forever, God. For the rest of us in this room, I'm just praying right now in Jesus' name that you would give strength, God, where there needs to be strength. God, I pray that your mighty power, your mighty hand will rest on the lives that can hear my voice, God, that they will have strength to endure through, that you'll give them strength to have patience with joy. God, I pray that they never forget that they are qualified in Christ and that we live off of knowing who we are in Christ, that our identity is set in you and our insecurities, God, of who we were and the mistakes we've made have no jurisdiction in our lives and in our heart, and we don't move and function out of fear, God, but in power, in love, and self-discipline. I pray that over us this morning. May we grow together hearing your word and hearing your truth, and we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.